Comments made on the Serotalk podcast are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle. www.serotalk.com, a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 67 for May 9, 2011. This is Michael Loft.
And I'm Ricky Enger.
Well, folks, how would you like to win a $100 Serotech gift card?
I would. Wait, I'm not eligible.
No, you're not eligible. But if you would like to do so, just listen to Tech Chat 100 and follow the easy instructions. But you must do so before the end of May 11th because this offer expires at 11:59 Eastern on May 11th.
And as you listen to that tech chat, you will perhaps want to extend your congratulations to Rodney Edgar, who won the prize that we gave away live, and it was a copy of DocuScan Plus. So congratulations, Rodney.
Yes, and we will announce the winner of the $100 gift card in Tech Chat 101 on May 12th, which, by the way, will be on the topic of gaming. The last one was so popular. We're going to speak with the author of Stem Stumper and a few more games as well. So join us for Tech Chat 101, Thursday, May 12th. Well, many people were moved by Tech Chat 79, where Deanne Chapman shared her knowledge about dogs. Good food to feed them and some things they shouldn't be eating. We talked about obedience and a wealth of issues. But quite disturbing was when she talked about many abuses that dogs undergo, either in puppy mills or by some really sick individuals. But unfortunately, Deanne passed away on April 21st. She made an invaluable or indelible or ingullible or some kind of impression on me because I really, I learned quite a lot about what one person can do in terms of advocacy. She really accomplished a lot.
Yeah, she was for sure passionate about what she did. And I think she made an impression on a lot of people, and she certainly did a lot of good, rescued a lot of dogs, and was very instrumental in educating people about dogs. And so I just feel like if there's something that you're passionate about, something that you want to advocate about, by all means, get out there and do so.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be blindness or even accessibility. Maybe it's something in your community, some change in your church, anything. Just pick one thing and go out and make some change. And I think you'll be surprised how easy it is once you get the fire in your belly. But in Tech Chat 99, speaking of fire in a belly, Mike Calvo and Rachel Schroeder and Pete Bosley covered this month in Access Technology for April 2011. And just before we launched that Tech Chat, we got the news that DocuScan Plus made its way into the Mac App Store.
That's right. So now you can use DocuScan Plus cross-platform. You pay $299 and you get basically your access to the service, regardless of which platform you decide to use it on. So you can scan some stuff on Windows at work. You can go home and fire up your Mac and you'll have access to those things that you have scanned. So it's definitely well worth checking out.
And speaking of checking out, I guess while Mike Calvo was feeling good during Cinco de Mayo, someone went up and reset all of the trial accounts, the 7-day trial account. So if you tried DocuScan Plus in the past, maybe didn't feel you had enough time to fully evaluate it, all of those accounts have been reset and you can go back and try another 7 days, put it through its paces, scan some paper documents, read and convert some PDF files, you know, make some audio recordings, Braille, whatever you want to do, and put it through its paces. So just go to DocuScanPlus.com.
And if you happen to be listening to this after May 12th, which is 7 days from when we reset the trials, no worries. Your trial will start again as soon as you log in with your credentials. So the clock is not counting against you right this second, so just take a moment, relax, and when you have some time to go and check out DocuScan Plus, then it will be there waiting for you.
And to make DocuScan Plus complete, you don't have to have it, but it's a very nice addition. It's the Hovercam T5V document camera. It's now available.
Yes, indeed. You can head over to saratech.com for more information on that. And you can see it used in my demonstration of DocuScan Plus for Mac, which appeared in Tech Chat 97, was it?
Yes, Tech Chat 97, where Ricky did a great demo. And of course, we have that isolated as well. You can hear it in the Socializer for SAMNet members, also on iBlink Radio under Audio Tutorials. Ricky, do you have any thoughts on housing that's specifically for the blind?
I can't say I've ever given it a whole lot of thought, just because it's something that I wouldn't need myself. Now, perhaps if you're blind and you have multiple disabilities in addition to that, then that would maybe be a good idea. But no, I've never really thought about why one would need a sort of specialized place for the blind to live.
Well, I think that's a good preface there, folks with multiple disabilities, because some folks were quite upset about an ad and a website called Friedman Place in Chicago. In particular, there were statements about help with bathing and no stoves. And so folks are quite bothered about that, feeling that gives the blind a bad name or makes us look incompetent. But there may be some multiple disabilities coming into play there. But a lot of communities have them more than we realize. A lot of them specialize in people who are, I guess, living on SSI, maybe.
Well, I find this particular community interesting. I don't know about any others, but with this one, they advertise, you know, studio apartments or one-bedroom apartments, and you've got in your kitchen a microwave and a refrigerator, but again, no stove. And some of the services that they offer are bathing, housekeeping, laundry, things that perhaps grown-ups should know how to do. And when I read this, I was thinking of people with multiple disabilities, but the sad thing is there are blind people who never learned some of these skills. You know, their parents were extremely overprotective, so they never learned to clean, to cook, and I guess in some cases they never really learned to bathe themselves properly. And that's very sad indeed to me, if there is nothing keeping you from learning these things, but you were just never taught them, and so you're an adult who really has no skills at all and would live in this place specifically for the blind. I don't know how to feel about that.
Right. Should you be glad that these facilities are there for those who never got that training, or I don't know.
Well, I hope that this place and others like it have goals of teaching those who have the ability to learn this stuff and can perhaps later live on their own.
Yeah, that would
be. So if it's not an enabling thing where we'll do this for you, even though you could probably learn it yourself.
Enablecrib.com. No.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, enough on that story. The things you learn about on Twitter. The Department of Justice has mandated that law school applications become accessible to the blind. There were two particular cases, and one of them involves the LSAC. It's a law school admissions council, and their online application services used by law schools nationwide have to be accessible by 2012. And the NFB, I know, was involved in that one. The other one has to do with the John Marshall Law School that's located in Atlanta. So if you're interested in that, go read more over at sarotalk.com. A new tablet allows the blind to, quote, build a picture in their mind, unquote. The Gravitas, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I believe so. Gravitas.
Gravitas is a graphics viewer using vibrations, interactive touch, audio, and speech. Small motors attached to the fingers allow the blind to view graphics and diagrams. And the main purpose for this looks to be for making educational materials more accessible.
This is really cool. I don't know about you, but I remember doing geometry and some other things that really required you to be able to look at a picture and get a good idea of what was in that picture. And so they do these raised line drawings, but they do something weird where they try to mimic three dimensions, and it doesn't make sense, at least to me, when I look at the thing. And if you're wanting to specialize in a field like mathematics or science or engineering or something like that, where it's essential that you get this sort of visual information, I'm glad to see that there are advancements in actually showing this stuff in a way that makes sense.
I never do well with raised pictures. I look at it and it just looks like gibberish.
Well, I can't even tell the difference between, you know, those little plastic animals. They've got the cow and the horse and all that stuff. So I guess I'm really challenged in that respect anyway. You know, hey, I see four legs and a tail. I have no idea what
right.
it is.
Cow,
it's an
pig,
animal.
Horse. Yeah, I'm the same way. I just don't do well in that. I'm impaired. The National Center for Accessible Media, WGBH, is working on a talking TV set-top box. Of course, the UK already has deployed talking set-top boxes, and I would love one of our great listeners in the fine UK to do a demo for us. I would love to hear how it works, what its limitations are,
yeah,
and so forth.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
But both the World Blind Union as well as the U.S. Federal Communications Commission need to hear from people. So again, as we talked about earlier with advocacy, by all means, get involved and help shape the future of TVs with talking menus, at least, or the talking set-top boxes. Apparently, National Center for Accessible Media is working with some kind of prototype of an open-source talking set-top box.
You got it. I'm looking forward to actually seeing this stuff come to market. Well, speaking of video and such, do you ever get really sick of getting a video from somewhere and then you want to play it on a particular device and you can't because this format is not supported?
Yeah, thanks to Mike Cowell, he found a very cool page for different audio and video converter software packages. And maybe you want to view a file on your iOS device, but you can't.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got an AVI and you can't view it over there. It's quite annoying. They list one of my favorites, Format Factory, on this page, along with several other free alternatives. So go and check that out in the show notes at serotalk.com.
Yeah, one thing that's really cool is you can take MPG files, MPEG files, and copy them to the root of a DVD, and many DVD players will play that. So you can wow your family by making a DVD and playing it on the regular TV. I always thought that was kind of cool.
Absolutely.
National Braille Press is asking for your help in choosing a name for their forthcoming Braille-enabled combination note-taker smartphone and PDA.
And boy, do they have some interesting names to choose for. Wait, should I scoff at any of these? I don't want to influence necessarily, but my oh my is all I can say. The Braille Nugget? Well, I like chicken nuggets. I guess a Braille Nugget would taste pretty good. Not entirely sure about that. And then there's the W-A-Y-F, WAYF. Kind of makes me think of, you know, I'm cold and lonely and ever so sweet. I just can't see that for a note taker. I like Uber Braille. That's a good one. And if you want to check out all of these names and vote on the one that you like best, go ahead and take the survey.
Meanwhile, we're still working at Serotech on the GTO.
You got it. Would we sell them the GTO name?
That would be awesome. Let's see what we could do.
Yeah, we might consider that.
Is there any prize for coming up with the name?
I don't think so. It wasn't mentioned, although I guess you could become a legend perhaps in your own mind and perhaps in the blind community for being the one to name the product, because there is a section where you can actually submit your own name suggestion.
Well, speaking of links you can get at Serotalk, many people keep asking me and emailing me for a link to the official Skype Talking website. So we posted that as well, including the latest version, which is 0.9.4. And apparently in 1.0, they want to actually have voice commands. So tell your Skype to call mom or the Skype chick or whatever. So that sounds cool.
Sweet.
I don't know. We didn't put this down as a story, but there are some rumors flying around that Facebook may be looking at buying Skype. And I don't know. That makes us all cringe because, you know.
Well, there are accessibility concerns with both of them.
Well, exactly. But I mean, I would really be concerned because Facebook could certainly alter the whole UI or at the very least, really push a lot of ads your way, or mandate that you use Facebook to use Skype, or maybe charge more for its use. So I don't know. It's just rumors, folks. So we'll see what, if anything, happens on that front. We'll keep you up to date on that. Linux fans, Ubuntu 11.04 has been released. And what kind of gnarly name did they come up for it, Ricky?
Well, it's not gnarly. It's Natty, apparently. Natty Narwhal. Isn't that just fun to say?
Yeah, it's like one of the projects I was looking at earlier called Dicky Wicker or something like that. I don't know.
Yes.
Yikes.
So Ubuntu Natty Narwhal, it's probably worth using just for that. I understand they've made a lot of changes. So the desktop interface is going to look considerably different, although you can still choose the classic Ubuntu desktop. So you can check out that. And as always, you can download it as a live CD, so you don't even have to install it to be able to play with it.
That's right. Of course, you have the speech built into there for the folks who have never played with it. I remember asking you about, I don't know, 4 years ago, how to make the darn CD talk.
Yes, and things have changed a lot even since then.
Well, many folks are asking about what is new, what can we look forward to in Windows 8, which is due for release in 2012. But we may be able to get a peek at it shortly, those who like to play around beta test software, because they're currently at build 1796, and it's been stated that once it reaches 1800, that those who like the beta test may get a chance to do so. But certainly we'll see more in July when Microsoft has one of their big conferences.
And what we're seeing right now is these builds being leaked and torrented and so on. And of course, there are some fakes that are chock full of mean and nasty things. So if you are torrenting these things, you should certainly beware that you might get more than you bargained for.
Yeah, I wouldn't be leery to use any betas like that. In fact, I would leery just to use any Windows betas. But, you know, I remember I used Windows 7 beta 9 months before it was officially released, and it really was a good thing. Of course, anything moving up from Vista was a good thing. But so if they've taken the same care with 8, then it might be worth giving it a play. Well, as far as Apple stuff, the U.S. Bureau of Engraving and Printing has launched iNote. It's an app to help the blind and visually impaired. Yes, and deafblind, because not only do you get audio, but apparently it also vibrates. The camera must be able to see 51% of the bill, either front or back, and it can read all notes dating back to 1996, and there will be updates to read future currency as that is made available. Now, this is interesting. I never saw a stat before claiming 100,000 blind and visually impaired persons, or low vision, whatever makes you feel good, actually own an iOS device, but
I wonder where they got that number.
And I don't know if that means, you know, what about people that have multiple devices? Mikey's probably about 5 of those 100,000, right? So
yeah, exactly. Sadly, with regards to iNote, though, there have been some mixed reviews on it. A lot of people seem to prefer LookTel at the moment because the recognition seems to be much quicker and much more accurate. Problem with LookTel, though, is that you don't get any feedback via vibration. So if you're in a very loud room, or if you're deafblind, LookTel's not going to be so great for you, and iNote may be the way to go. And hey, it is free, and I expect that they'll release an update with improvements as well.
Well, I wonder if iNote has any built-in capabilities to detect counterfeit currency. LookTel does not. I mean, you know, someone passes you a bad bill, which I think you could tell by the feel of the paper. Anyway, iNote is free. It's a free app in the App Store. And have you actually tried it, Ricky? I guess not. I have not.
I have not either. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. One of the other initiatives involves creating an actual coupon for a currency reader, just like the government did, I guess, with the HD set-top boxes to make your analog TV see HD, but also high contrast numerals in different background colors. And you can read more at inote.gov. That is spelled EYENOTE.gov. John Martin is working on a script for JAWS to improve accessibility to iTunes, and he calls it Blind Tunes. So if you're interested in that, you can visit www.blindtunes.net. Also in the rumor mill, it looks like one report is making some claims about what the iPhone 5 is going to have. It claims that there will be a multi-touch home button and a 3.7-inch screen. Whatever happens, I think September is going to be the very earliest that we see anything, if not into 2012. I think there were at least five components that go into the iPhone where production was slowed due to the tsunami in Japan. So we'll see.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this article is that even those reporting it are saying, you know, this is probably not very likely, and this guy doesn't have a very good track record with his reports, but we're just throwing it out there. Yeah, it'll have a multi-touch home button and a big old screen, and I think it'll make your toast for you and some other things. But most of the rumors seem to be saying that this is just going to be an incremental improvement, so it's not going to be a huge redesign. You'll see a better processor and probably a better camera, but not much else.
Well, I think some folks were sued for actually leaking information in terms of the iPad 2, so we'll see if that doesn't tighten or loosen up the rumor mill, however you want to look at it. Apple is using iCloud.com internally, and reportedly, it will be used for more than music. Apple paid some $4.5 million for the iCloud.com domain. You know, Ricky, we should have went out and bought every i domain possible. Oh, man.
Yeah, no kidding. We could really be rolling in it. Is it too late? We could actually try that. But yeah, the iCloud service, I think, is going to be, it's going to take some of the capabilities of Mobile Me, and it's also going to be a music service and obviously allow you to store a lot of other things in the cloud, like contacts and documents and all sorts of happy stuff. So I think those people who are a bit leery of the cloud and don't trust it necessarily and things like that, it appears that, you know, this is in general where things are headed. So we've got to figure out some way to be used to that and not cling so tightly to everything must be on my desktop and my desktop only.
Well, it's a trust factor. And of course, there are those occasional instances where internet is not available. But yeah, it looks like it will be integrated into Apple's next operating system, Lion, as well as iOS 5, which should be accompanying the iPhone 5. So certainly we'll learn more on June 6th with WWDC. We'll find out what's new at Apple. And of course, Sarah Talk will be there reporting and covering and maybe even doing a special podcast if Steve or someone from Apple has to tell us about some new stainless steel bands or something cool like that. We'll have to be on it. Well, in Google land, it looks like Google is going to take on Apple iTunes with mainstream movie rentals available at YouTube. And apparently there's already a few titles up there, but Google has deals in place. These are reports again, so I will say allegedly, but they have deals in place with Sony, Warner Brothers, and Universal. Although some sources say that they believe Paramount, Fox, and possibly even Disney have declined to participate with Apple thus far. Some studios are excited about the fact of getting anywhere from $1.99 to $3.99 per movie rather than the Netflix all-you-can-eat model.
So I'm curious about something, Michael. Have you ever rented a movie from iTunes or through this model or through any other model? Have you digitally rented a movie?
No, I haven't. I'm told that iTunes even has some described DVS content up there, like especially from Disney. So I haven't done it. Folks are saying, well, why would I want to do that when the stuff's on Netflix? Well, the key is that you'll get these movies the same day they hit the rental store, whereas Netflix, I think you have to wait like 30 days on a lot of the titles. It depends on the studio. So that instant gratification, if you want to see Little Falkers or something that's brand new and you want to get it first, then maybe you'll pay.
I was curious about that because, I mean, is that really the only advantage? I'm perfectly happy with being kind of patient and having as many movies as I want with Netflix. But hey, to each his own, and hopefully the rental model will work for someone, be it Apple or Google.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's instant gratification. Younger folks may want it now, or really hardcore movie buffs want to see things as soon as they're available. Certainly, you know, new Star Trek titles or just certain genres that people would want to have it now. Both Google and Apple have been called to the U.S. Senate. hearing on privacy for mobile devices and mobile technologies. Certainly the concerns are over the ability to track daily movements and to tell a person's current location. But folks, you know, it's kind of misguided in one sense because that capability has been there for quite a while. They specifically, Congress mandated the phone companies add the capabilities to know of your location within 10 yards anytime you press 911. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. Well, on May 10th, it looks like TV Raman and Charles Chen will show the latest accessibility efforts for Android. You can read more at serotech.com, but it's entitled Android Access 101 at Google I.O.
And speaking of Android, if you've been happily tethering with a free Android app that you've found in the marketplace, or I guess there are some paid ones as well, they're probably being blocked as of now by most U.S. carriers. So just as on the iPhone, you can jailbreak the device and tether, but AT&T is going to send you a nasty gram for that. Carriers are also blocking this on Android now. Everybody except for Sprint, actually. And by the way, this is only happening in the U.S., which is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, it says here that AT&T and T-Mobile have been blocking these apps for quite a while, and Verizon is just jumping into. But right, I don't see Sprint mentioned, so I guess that's the carrier you need to use if you wish to tether.
Yeah, I mean, Sprint, apparently they're saying, look at us. Hey, we have all-you-can-eat data plans, and we don't care. Tether away. I don't know how long that's going to last, but there you have it.
Well, blind broadcasters are scrambling to stay legal as a service called SWCast, who they paid money to, was supposed to forward that to cover their royalties for playing music, but they did not forward their royalties to SoundExchange. And according to Sound Exchange, they have not done so since 2005. So a lot of folks are looking at other entities like Loud City and Loudcaster to make sure that they are legal and they can play their music without any retribution. An appeals court lifts stem cell research funding injunction. This will open up research funding to many more human embryonic stem cell lines, HSCS. The lawsuit was filed by entities that were wanting more funding for adult human stem cell research, and this is a very controversial technology, but has the potential to possibly cure most known diseases and even some physical disabilities. If you want to learn more about Medicare, why not attend MRU? It's Medicare Rights University. You can receive expert online education with webinars on Medicare benefits, regulations, consumer rights, enrollment periods, Medicare costs, skilled nursing facilities, Part D drug coverage, and much more. You can read about that at serotalk.com, or we will thank our source there, Fred's Head. So check that out if you want to learn more about Medicare. You want to talk about this one? A team of Iowa Girl Scouts have done, 11 to 13-year-old young ladies.
Yeah, I got to say, I have fond memories of being a Girl Scout. I mean, we went camping, we learned how to tie knots and do all this cool stuff, but unfortunately, we never got to build robots. So I'm kind of happy that things have changed a bit in Girl Scout land. There is a group of Girl Scouts who have built a prosthetic hand device. They built this for a three-year-old named Danielle to use. She was born without fingers, and she was, for the first time, able to hold a pencil in her right hand using this device.
Yeah, and apparently these young ladies have also modded a wheelchair by putting extra cameras on the back to help detect one's surroundings.
And yeah, like a rear-view mirror type thing.
Yeah, yep. Very cool. Well, we're excited about that.
Yeah, I want to become a Girl Scout again. I want my robot badge.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really cool, man. The stuff they're doing with the Legos and
robotics.
Very cool stuff. Well, our final story, have you ever wanted to make out over the internet? If so, you may be in luck because the Kiss Transmitter will allow people to virtually French kiss over the internet. That's right. Insert the device in your mouth. Turn it with your tongue, and your partner will feel the same sensation. And developers...
This is just the creepiest device
yes,
ever.
Yes, creepy is the word. And then Japanese developers hope to replicate breathing, saliva, and taste. I'll have mine with onions, thank you.
I kind of wonder if you could use this in conjunction with the See With Your Tongue camera. So you could be looking at the Skype video with the See With Your Tongue camera and also have this French kissing thingy in your mouth that it does some sort of swirl or something every time you move it. And I, for some reason, I keep imagining it sounding like an Opticon, you know, every time the thing swirls.
Yeah, motors.
Yeah.
And because...
It's so romantic.
Yeah, I want to have mine like fried rice, please. No.
And Jolly somehow Ranchers. It keeps interacting with the fillings in my teeth.
I'm picking up radio stations.
Hopefully it's playing soft jazz or Barry White or something.
No, that's an in-app add-on. You have to purchase that separately. No, there's a whole app store, and I'm going to leave that right there.
And because this is a family show, we won't go into any detail, but there are USB devices that do more, folks, and I'll leave it at that. But
we're going to have a link in the show notes for the kissing thing. If, in case you're interested, of course, it's still experimental technology, but it will save a lot of high school kids a lot of time on learning how to kiss. So
that's right. No longer need you use the back of your hand.
Yeah. Well, what happens when somebody's first kiss is like this, and then they experience the real thing? Oh, this is weirder than I thought.
I like the kiss transmitter better. I'll take my kiss XMTR. Thank you. So, I mean, we have to ask folks, resources at serotalk.com or call us on the blab line. Would you pay for such a device? And if so, how much would you pay for the kiss transmitter? Oh, you got to love it. Well, folks, stay tuned. We have two great segments coming up. MLB at Bat 2011. Bill Sparks and Doug Hunsinger take us through the latest iPhone app and give us a few pointers in getting the most out of it. And also, if you've been looking for a combination case and keyboard for your iPhone 4 device, Mike Calvo reviews two of them, one he likes and one he doesn't. But you can hear all that coming up in Serotech Podcast 67.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.
Marketscope. All things radio.
We're Serotech. This is Bill Sparks reporting.
And I'm back with a friend of mine. You've heard him before. He's our expert when we want to know about something iPhone or something like that. Radio's concern, Doug Hunsinger. Hello, Doug.
Bill, how are you, sir? Good to talk to you.
Well, you too. It's that time of year again, Doug. Remember last year we had Aaron with us and we did the At-Bat 2010, and now this year you're going to talk about At-Bat 2011.
Yes, and let me tell you this. The review that you're going to get this year is not quite as comprehensive as what Aaron gave you last year, but what I will tell listeners about is I'm going to focus on listening to ball games and how it's changed this year.
Let's just recap by saying just a couple things here. How does one get At-Bat 2011, and what does it cost?
Well, I can tell you from the iPhone/Android/smartphone perspective, it's $14.95. And with the iPhone, I went to the the App Store, as they call it, and did a search for MLB. And as soon as the MLB 2011 was available, I ordered it, and it said it's $14.95. And I punched in my password. It downloaded the application and put it on my phone.
This application, say it's $14.95. What does that cover? Does that cover every spring training and regular season game and postseason game?
It covers the spring training offerings that MLB had. And on spring training, they allowed you to preview for free MLB TV. And also the first day of the regular season, they allowed you to do that too. MLB TV is there, but you do have to pay for it to get it. Also, there's a scoreboard. You can go through and look at teams' averages and get a recap of each game. There's video replays of things, and I haven't played much with that this year since the season is still new. Mostly what I've done so far with the application is check scores and listen to live coverage.
And that's every major league team, correct?
Yes, and you get the home and away feeds, and when available in another language, you get the other language.
So you get a lot for $14.95.
Yes.
One of the questions I get before you start your demo is, how is the audio? Does it sound okay?
It's not bad. It's certainly an improvement over what the spring training offered, but the audio seems a little bit lower on most feeds. When you listen to a station, you find yourself turning up your iPhone or the speakers that you're listening to it on because it seems a little bit quiet, but the quality itself is certainly good enough to listen to.
What exactly are you going to use for this demo? You have your iPhone, and what else do you have?
I still have the 3GS. I'm waiting for the new iPhone to come out before I plunge into the newest device. I've got it hooked in to my mic mixer, and that's what I'm using to broadcast my microphone audio too. So you're going to get a direct feed from the iPhone.
Okay, are you using a keyboard or anything to help you?
No, I'm just going to use the touchpad. Of course, the keyboard could help, but since my batteries just went dead, we're going to use the touch screen and we're going to move around with the touch screen. Before we start, let me just comment first on the layout of the application once you're inside the scoreboard area. And the scoreboard is where you click on teams to listen to audio feeds, and that's where we're going to do all of our functioning. We're going to do all of our talking about today. Last year, when you clicked on a team to listen to it, you would then have to do a search on the screen for the listen links. Once you found the listen button, then you'd get your choice of radio stations, but you still had to do some fishing around. They've actually made it a little bit easier this year, and I'll show you that. I'm going to go ahead and open up MLB.
At bat 11.
All right, we'll wait for it to load a second here.
At bat 11. Left air, look in.
Okay, and at bat 11 is loaded now, so we're going to go look to see what games we've got. I'm going to choose a live feed, and we're going to see how that works.
Boston vs. Cleveland.
Boston versus Cleveland.
Left arrow, button.
Why does
Tuesday,
it do that?
April 5th,
button. Here we go.
Right arrow, button. Giants, Padres, 1-0, top 3, 3-2-3 out.
Okay, so there you go. That's Giants and Padres. What do you want to listen to? The Reds? You want to see what they're doing?
No, that's fine. We'll see what the Reds are doing.
Okay.
More info. Angels. Rays. 4-0. Top 2. 0-0-0 out. More. Red Sox. Indians. 0-0. Bot 1. 0-0-1 out.
Now, what I'm doing to get there is I'm swiping to the right with my finger. And you hear the score, and then you hear...
More info. Red Sox. Indians. 0. Zero.
And then
bot one.
Right arrow. Dash,
Twins. Yankees. Twins. Yankees. 0-0. Bot 1. 3-1-0 out.
Okay.
More info. Mets. Phillies. 0-0. Top 1. 1-3-3 out. More info. Athletics. Blue Jays. 0-0. Bot 1. 0-0-0. More info. Astros. Reds. 0-0.
All right.
Bot 1. 1-1-1 out.
All right. I'm going to double click on that.
Okay.
Selected. How? Sin, 1, 0, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now, don't ask
seven.
Me what all those stupid
selected.
Numbers are,
top.
But
sin.
Yeah,
zero,
but it does
two,
do that.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Now, what happens? Let me just turn that down a second. Once this loads, the next right flick will give you more options. You'll be able to go into game day, which is something, and it'll say game day audio. So I'm going to let you listen to what happens
six,
here.
7, 8, 9.
Stop it. Okay. Anyway, let me turn this back up. So we're back online here, and we're going to do a left arrow just so you know where I am.
More info. Athletic. Selected. How. Sin. 1. Scoreboard MLB TV. Button.
All right. Now, if I had MLB TV, I could click on that and watch it.
Scoreboard audio. Button.
See how easy that is? Now, I'm going to double click that. All right, and let that load a second, and then we're going to see if we can find it.
How? KTRH. Button.
All right, do you want to hear that, or do you want to hear WLW?
How?
Just hear Marty and...
LW. Button.
WLW. Button.
Sin.
All right,
WLW.
We saw Drew Stubbs steal second, and then on the very next pitch tried to steal third, was thrown out easily. And Dusty had a bit of a conversation with him after the game about that. So a hit now will mean a run.
I hear that little bit of warbling sound.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and that's what you get with a lot of MLB feeds now.
From most left-handers, that straight over the top delivery, it looks just like a fastball, and the ball comes in at 80 miles an hour.
Now, let me show you what I can do here. I'm going to switch to the Houston feed.
Take a look at Scott Rowland.
Hop, KTRH.
The sign, glancing back to Phillips, leading at second base, comes to the plate.
Volume, one, how, yes, clap, how, yes, hop, KTRH, button. How? Kate.
Firm hitting backdrop, and then that makeshift steamboat, which sits above the fence. 328 to the left field corner, 325 to right towards the Houston pen. Higher fence.
And what you can do with this is there's a hide button. And once you hide that audio feed, then you can play around and mess with the scoreboard and do other things so that you don't have to stay focused on that game if you don't want to.
Stubbs rolled to short to start things. And then Brandon Phillips got the base hit and stolen base. 2-2 to Votto.
And then there's also a Spanish feed if you wanted to hear that.
Long look at Phillips. It's a pitch to Votto.
But suffice it to say, you can listen to either the home or away feed on any of the teams. So if you want another perspective on the game, and trust me, you can get a couple different perspectives on the same game by just the different team announcers. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times when you travel, you want to hear your home team's announcers. And you can definitely do that with this application.
To sum this up, do you believe it's easier in 2011 or do you prefer the 2010 version of the...
Oh, I much prefer this one. I haven't explored all of the things that you can do with the applications, like box scores and, you know, all of those things. So I can't comment on those. But just for listening to audio, I think this application works a lot better. Now, what both applications tended to do sometimes, when you get constant updates, a lot of times your voiceover will jump you back to the beginning of your list. For example, if you've got 14 baseball games and you're on game 12 and an update comes through, it might knock you back to the beginning of the screen. So that in itself can be a little bit annoying, but you can get back to where you were. But for the most part, I do think this application does quite well.
Don't you believe the addition of the keyboard this year for someone who may not be as good at this flicking or wants to do it that way? Do you believe the keyboard has enhanced the experience?
Oh, very much so. One of the things when VoiceOver jumps you once the screen refreshes with a new score and it jumps you back to the beginning, it's much easier if you know you're toward the bottom of the screen to get your keyboard to the bottom and move back toward where you need to be. So your actual navigation does improve.
So you would give 2011 a thumbs up?
Thumbs up. And as I said, just for listening to baseball audio, I would give it a thumbs up. Let me see if there's anything else I'm forgetting to tell you about. Hang on a second. I'm going to add a little bit of volume so we can hear what's going on.
Nine and low, 2-1. In this ballpark with this collection of offensive players, they can
volume
pressure
how
any
yet
pitcher, but it does
how
force
KTRH
to try to get off to a good start
playing
because
pause button.
Okay,
motion,
you heard that
so
pause button, right?
And more.
Look at me, so
all right, I paused it. And then if I want to play it again, it picks up where it was.
Pause.
A pitch, that is a strike, a low strike. Gomes may be disagreeing with Andy Fletcher. Fastball at 91, evens the count at 2 balls, 2 strikes.
And the other thing that this application does, as do most applications that play audio and video, is if you press the home key and you want to do other things, MLB will continue to play. Now, if you open up an audio application and play an audio file or you play another audio stream, MLB will stop running. You don't hear both streams at once.
Again, thank you so much, Doug.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Marketscope.
All things radio.
We're Sarah Tech. This is Bill Sparks reporting.
Well, for another special segment on the Sarah Talk podcast, it's Mike Calvo talking about more keyboard options for your iPhone or iOS devices.
You know, this is a real important thing to me because as much as I love my iPhone and the iOS devices, Michael, the one thing I really miss are those days of having either a QWERTY keyboard or at least a keypad, just a regular phone keypad to type on. These options here provided a great alternative for me to be able to use a keyboard with the iPhone. And the way that they work, both of these devices we're going to review today, Michael, they work the same way. You take your iPhone and you kind of put it in a case. It's a regular, like a back, so your phone falls into it or slips into it. Underneath that, there's like a little drawer. You know, the keyboard kind of slides out like it would on a regular phone.
You have it in one piece, but the keyboard it pulls out when you need it or you tuck it away when you don't.
Right. And of course, it does make the phone thicker. Both of these devices, when you use them, you need to flip them on. Just don't flip it out and it turns on. I think a better design would have been just that. When you flip it out, the thing is on. When you flip it back in, the thing is off.
Is it a Bluetooth sync or is it?
Yep, it is Bluetooth. It doesn't connect to the bottom port. It just connects when you go to sync either one of these two keyboards. They basically are seen by the phone as just a Bluetooth keyboard, and you sync it up, and that's it. Whenever you turn it on, the phone sees it and says, oh, you want to use your keyboard, I guess. It only works in applications that support the keyboard, i.e., you know, searching, writing notes, that kind of thing. And that's the one thing I can tell you I hate about the iPhone is that you can kind of navigate with a Bluetooth keyboard, but not effectively, not intuitively at least, like you can on, you know, on any other phone that we've used in the past, be it Symbian or Windows Mobile or whatever, or even Android now. So they all are better at keyboard navigation, which for me is something I like. Although, you know, you can't deny the accessibility aspects, the total accessibility aspects of the iPhone, and of course, the amount of applications that there are for it. It certainly isn't to say that the iPhone isn't my handy dandy buddy. I just personally switched over to an Android phone. But this is a great keyboard, and I used both of them on my iPhone for a while. And we've got two of them today.
Yes, we do. Let's start with the first one, the BoxWave Keyboard Buddy iPhone 4 Case Jet Black.
Right. And you can order that right from our website, right in the show notes here at serotalk.com. And when you do that, you are supporting this podcast. It's we are an Amazon affiliate, and whatever you buy through our links on the Serotalk podcast or anywhere else you see them on a Serotech website, you are supporting the efforts of both Amazon and Serotech. So we really appreciate your support for that. So basically, the BoxWave keyboard, Michael, it retails for $79, sells for $69. So that's a little sting, you know. But I will tell you, it's a great keyboard. It was sturdy. It slides very well. Syncing was good. The size of the keys were good. The only complaint I had about this particular keyboard was that there were no dots to show the J and the F. I found myself having to look for a solution to put on there, and I just never did, but I could have used a hot dots or could have used whatever just to notate, to mark those two areas on the keyboard, and it would have made using the keyboard for me a whole lot more fun. But the only other thing I would say is be very careful with the power switch on this keyboard. It's off on the right-hand side. This is actually my second one because the first one I got didn't have a power switch. You know, it was not there. It was just a little hole there. So it seems that the power switch is probably the weakest part of this thing. And for $69, you should be getting something that's pretty darn good. So that kind of disappointed me that I had to order two of them. But otherwise, the experience was great. Typing on it was exactly what I expected. Distance between the keys, once you knew where you were, was good. The folks over at ThinkGeek and their keyboard.
Oh, the TK-421 iPhone case with flip-out keyboard for iPhone 4.
That's the one. And we also have a link to that. You can buy it through Amazon. Again, it's $39. They retail it for $49. It just isn't worth it, Michael. It's cheap. It's plastic. It's flimsy. You know, as a keyboard, it worked fine. But it was just something that I found myself afraid was going to break in my pocket. This particular product, Michael, is just not up to par for the amount of money. For that, your phone is going to be in a lot of places. It's going to be in your pocket. It's going to be in your front pocket, your back pocket. You can have it in your book bag or your purse. You know, you don't want to have to be delicately placing your phone each and every place it goes. I mean, certainly we're not going to throw iPhones places, but this is a very, very poorly made case, in my opinion. It just is not, the hinge does not look like it's going to stand up to time. And that's the most important part of this thing, besides the keyboard, is the hinge to have it slide in and out again.
The two we're talking about today, your recommendation is to spend the $69 for the BoxWave keyboard.
There are other keyboards on the market. The Boxwave 1 is the first one that came out on the market that attracted my attention. The Boxwave 1 is sturdy. Those of you that have purchased other Boxwave products for your cell phone knows that they stand behind their product. They're a good company. Neither one of these keyboards were given to us. We purchased both of them. That is my consumer opinion. Buy yours. Make sure that you give it a good old run. And then let us know. Am I full of it? Or did I make a good choice? Or did you find something better? Whatever it is, please do feel free to write to us or give us a call on the Blab line.
Exactly. If you found something better, resources at serotalk.com or call us at 866-997-2522, which spells Blab. Thank you, Mikey. I'll go give this Boxwave a play myself.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.